Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays.
Today it's me, your boy Jay King from MassLive.com with Sam Jam Packard the Great.
We are recording at halftime of the All-Star Game. We were initially going to do it after the All-Star Game, but decided that the All-Star Game is so much trash that we would rather just do it at halftime. So if anything big happens in the second half, if Isaiah Thomas wins an All-Star Game MVP, if Isaiah Thomas throws down a dunk on top of DeMarcus Cousins' head, if anything else similar to that happens, we're sorry. We didn't podcast about it. We have more respect for our sanity than you do, and we decided to record this at halftime instead. So
blame me, folks. Jay, I was the one who's pushing at halftime. So if there's any brilliant second half All-Star Game analysis that we missed, that's on it's on GM's shoulders.
But really, the only All-Star Game analysis we need is Brad Stevens's pregame introduction. So what happened was, there was like anyone who didn't watch it, there was this huge like basketball musical thing with the Roots, and then all of a sudden Michael B. Jordan, the actor, was rapping. And it was like this huge, huge scene.
DMC from Run DMC was there. They were like going through every single decade. It was like a pretty cool performance. It was I didn't think that was going to come, but it was like, yeah, it was the Roots, like a hip hop performance. And then it immediately transitioned into introducing Brad Stevens, and it was gold.
Yeah. So Brad had no clue what to do. I don't even think if he knew whether he was actually being recorded. Like, it looked like he didn't know it was his turn yet, and like his eyes were just looking around, and he kind of gave this like sheepish wave. It was perfect Brad Stevens. He's just there to coach basketball. Doesn't matter if it's the All-Star game. He does not want this external crap. I've got my dog scratching, my parents' dog scratching to go out. So I've got to let my dog out right now. This is great podcasting right now. Here I am, talking about Brad Stevens' electric intro, and my dog needs to go out. So
the other good Brad Stevens moment while you let your dog out that you mentioned on Twitter was him saying that he wanted the East to break the all-time assist records. Like, he, even when Brad Stevens is kind of pulling back and being a coach or like just letting the players play, he's still trying to like work on the assist to turnover ratio. And like, he's got to get an ATO in at some point. But other than that, the All-Star game up in the first half has been trash. We had a give and go alley-oop from Russ to KD, or back to Russ, and then Isaiah Thomas trying to dunk, and that was about it. That's all we've really seen, that and some atrocious defense and just fake basketball.
Yeah. Well, Isaiah had that little like two possession duel with Russell Westbrook, which I wasn't too thrilled. And by duel, I mean they both let each other shoot jumpers, and either made or missed wide open jumpers.
The thing I don't get about the All-Star game is, like, if it's just going to be an exhibition and you're just trying to, like, make it be a offensive expose, what, like, there's ways to do it. At least try and, like, beat guys off the dribble. Like, the N1 mixtape, they were doing crazy dribble moves and, like, I feel like wilder dunks. This just is, like, general laziness and, like, everyone's effort is at a three. I don't know. It's pointless.
So you want the NBA to model its All-Star game after the N1 mixtape tour?
Yes,
and you
there
think
needs to
that
be,
would be an improvement?
Yes, there needs to be a live MC just being like, Isaiah Thomas. Dribble moves, throwing basketballs off each other's heads and through the legs, questionable travels. I think that would be an improvement. If it's going to be just a complete farce, then why not go all out? Or I saw John Corrales talking about this. Go back to, like, Rock and Jock. There should be a 5-point line. There should be a 12-foot hoop. There should be a hoop that's constantly moving. Like, this needs to be a full-out circus if it's going to be a joke.
I just think that they need to stop playing the All-Star game. the All-Star game, it just makes me so cranky. Everything about it, like, even the slam dunk contest, like, unless the slam dunk contest has unreal dunks, like the Vince Carter year or the last year's Zach LaVine versus Aaron challenge, get the 3-point contest out of my face. Like, I am so against everything that goes into All-Star weekend except for Brad Stevens player introductions. What is more exciting is trade rumors. And so the trade rumor season kind of got kicked off in earnest tonight when Adrian Wojnarowski reported that the Kings are at least looking into the prospect of trading DeMarcus Cousins. Now, like an hour later, the agent for Cousins came out and said he thinks Cousins will stay on the Kings. But it went from this super max extension to now the owner, Vivek Ranadive, is considering whether to trade Cousins at, like, the last moment.
Well, how'd you just pronounce his last name?
Ranadive?
I thought it was Ranadive, but let's go with Ranadive.
Yeah, it probably is, but but we'll go with Ranadive. Ranadive, whatever the fuck it is, he is considering trading DeMarcus Cousins, according to the report. And the Pelicans' offer that was reported wasn't really a great offer. It was a Buddy Hield and a couple of first-round picks.
And two first-round picks, so, yeah.
Yeah, around. At least if that is the real offer, and that is something they were considering. Like, they are really finally maybe considering an actual life post-DeMarcus Cousins.
So
my question to you is this. We've probably talked about Cousins a million times. I'm against it because I think it's too risky. I think he's, like, obviously he's a great player, super talented guy. He takes too many possessions off. He gets in fights with teammates, coaches, referees, reporters. Like, he's not the type of guy I think you can rely on. My question is this. If Cousins is available, if Jimmy Butler is available, if Paul George is available, in this dream world where they're all available, which guy would you prefer the most out of those three guys?
My initial gut instinct is to say Paul George. I think he, when he was at the kind of the height of his game, what was that, 2 years ago before the leg injury, I felt like he was really there as, like, one of the top five players in basketball. I think he's the best defender of the three. He's the dominant scorer. He's a little bit bigger than Jimmy Butler. I agree with you. I would have tried to avoid the kind of the Boogie Cousins thing. Sure about how he would mesh well, but I think Paul George is him and Jimmy Butler is hard to decide. They're both extremely talented, but I just like kind of Paul George's size and athleticism compared to Butler.
Yeah, I think what does it for me, and I think I'm with you on the George thing, and I would be not wary, but Jimmy Butler has two more years on a really good contract. So that's something to keep in mind, I think. But to me, George's size is big. Like, he's 6'10". He is long. When he was, as you said, in his prime on the Pacers of a few years back with those really good teams. Like he was giving LeBron James some problems in the playoffs, and that's a big deal. And but to me, like the real differentiator, because Jimmy Butler's a really good defender too. Jimmy Butler, tough guy. It's the 3-point shooting. Like Paul George is a better catch and shoot 3-point shooter than Jimmy Butler, which could theoretically make him a better fit next to somebody like Isaiah Thomas. And I think at this point, it's gotten to the point where when you make a trade or when you think about what the Celtics should do, I think every move you build around. So whenever they make a move, it should be like based on how something fits with Isaiah Thomas. And to me, Paul George is a bit better. And of course, like they're not going to have a choice.
Yeah, no.
At some point, it's going to be like, okay, the Bulls are willing to trade Butler, or the Pacers are willing to trade George, or like it is going to be forced onto them what that decision is.
Given what you just said about like kind of any future deal has to be considered with like Isaiah, does that mean that like this is just what I was thinking right now? Does that make the idea of Cousins more appealing because you wouldn't necessarily have to run the offense, I guess, through Cousins, or there would be no issues of both Isaiah or Paul George or Isaiah and Jimmy Butler like both being like primary ball handlers? With Cousins, you could, and especially next to Horford, I think Cousins and Horford would be a tremendous front court. It feels like that kind of Cousins may be easier to just to slide into the Celtics offense, what they do now, rather than having kind of two more ball dominant players like George and Butler. I know Isaiah plays pretty well off the ball. I don't think it's going to happen at the deadline, just because it'd be extremely hard to try and like work a player into their kind of rotation right now and into their system. And it just doesn't feel like huge deals are made at the deadline anymore. It feels like it's something that happens over the summer. So I threw a bunch at you, but react to that.
I'll start with the Cousins stuff first. It's too bad that he is such a problem in the locker room, on the court with referees, on the court with coaches, all of that, because like obviously as a rebounder, he would fit in perfectly. Like he's an inside outside threat. Oh wow, that would be great next to Al Horford. Like physically, from the standpoint of the floor, which is huge for the Celtics offense, and handle the ball on the perimeter like the Celtics bigs do a lot. Like in a lot of ways, basketball wise, he would fit perfect. It's just, can you rely on the guy? And I don't know. And I don't think the Celtics know. And their big thing has been avoiding the big risky moves. If they're going to give up one of those Brooklyn picks, then they want to do it for something that is going to automatically, with the exception of some unforeseen injury, push them to the next level, which is title contention. And to me, yes, Cousins could be the type of player that does that, absolutely, but there's also the risk, and there's not that same risk with Butler and George to me, which is why I would prefer either of those guys to Cousins. And what was the other thing you said? Something about
just trades being happy mid-season. Yeah, it just doesn't feel like people trade. Like it would be very hard to kind of integrate a star into your kind of what your system is mid-season. And there's the feeling that like teams don't really trade star. Like when's the last time a huge star was traded kind of like in the middle of the year? It definitely feels like something that happens closer to the draft or closer to free agency.
Yeah, I haven't gone back and looked at that actually. So I would be speaking from a place of
ignorance. That's what we do sometimes here, Jay. We just kind of
bigger thing about that is the uncertainty of the Brooklyn picks. And so will the Bulls trade Butler? I don't know. I don't know if they're convinced they need to trade him. Obviously, they looked into it last draft, but if you are going to trade him, you want to know like where that pick is going to be. Are you going to pick number one and have a chance at Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball, or are you going to be at 3 or 4 and maybe get a lesser prospect? And obviously, this is supposed to be a deep draft with several good prospects, but there's a difference and a significant difference between 1 and 4 in this draft. So I think it makes more sense for both sides, the Celtics too, in the summer when you know what that pick is so that you know what the value is going to be. The Celtics, like, if you get number one or you get number two and you have a chance at Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball, that might make them think twice about trading it, because both those guys, like, you talk to guys around the league, and those guys have really solidified themselves as prospects people think have a really high chance of being damn good and maybe special players.
Or it could change the package that they're willing to give up. So maybe if it's like
Tier
4 pick, they have to include something like another Nets pick or Jaylen Brown or both. But if it's that 1 or 2 pick, then it's maybe that that's like the main center of the Celtics until like at least we know what the lottery is. So that would have to be with the draft. But there are some smaller rumors out there that I think are worth discussing. I think it was in Sean Devaney's piece today in the Sporting News?
Yep.
He was talking about this whole Jimmy Butler scenario, and it's something that you guys really talked about. Had a good conversation on Locked On Bulls the other day, but a little bit of a nugget in there was that the Celtics have been, I forget the exact language.
Have expressed deep interest in P.J. Tucker.
Deep interest. I've been on the P.J. Tucker train for a while. I think he'd be a solid addition to the Celtics, just as kind of like a very physical defender, a guy who can guard forward, like wouldn't necessarily have to give up. Basically, he'd be a Jonas Jerebko upgrade, and I feel like the asking price for him would be maybe a future first, and the Celtics have a bevy of future firsts to give up. So it feels like if that deal is out there, it's a simple way to upgrade the roster without limiting future flexibility, and it feels like something that the Celtics should definitely look into. If I was Danny Ainge, I'm saying I'm all in on P.J. Tucker.
That would be the type of trade that would make sense, right? Like, Tucker is a physical force. He is a great rebounder for a wing. He would be an upgrade over Gerald Green. He would give you size in the second unit. P.J. Tucker, you could do that and post up Smart, post up Brown. One of those guys would have a mismatch all the time with those lineups. And he's a reasonable three-point shooter. Like, he's a type of guy who would address the Celtics' weaknesses on this particular team, and he's on an expiring contract, so you don't have to worry about still freeing up maximum cap space this summer. His contract comes off the books. So, yeah, P.J. Tucker is the type of guy, I think, who would interest the Celtics. And if they do go after a lesser trade, it will be for somebody like Tucker, somebody who doesn't screw up their plans up to maximum cap space if they need to, and he addresses their weaknesses. So, yeah, P.J. Tucker, he's an intriguing name. He'd be a low-key pickup that would be a pretty big deal, I think, for their bench.
Yeah, and I think it's like in comparison, people were, at least on Celtics Twitter, were like upset about the Celtics not going after Ibaka or not being willing to part with Terry Rozier for Ibaka. And this feels like it's like the either a step below or two steps below in terms of what you would have to give up. But it'd be kind of a similar kind of addition in that it'll give you a little bit of rebounding and a little bit of a physical defense. But you don't have to give up one either. Plays 20 minutes a game because of his ankles made of glass. I think he turns in a solid 20 minutes. So you won't have to give him up just because the salaries are not that high, and then you don't have to give up anything else. So it feels like a type of deal where it's like it's a low risk and potentially high reward. I don't see why the Celtics would be opposed. And he's the exact type of player with like you said, expiring contract and then. And a low, a minimal amount of money for them matching salaries is not like a hard problem for the Celtics. They really don't have to give anything up besides either, I guess it would be Zeller or Jerebko.
Zeller would be missed. anyway, yeah, I think that's about it. We've covered enough. We've got there will be plenty more trade rumors to come. Plenty more. Maybe some big trades to react to. I don't see too many big name players. I mean, maybe Cousins if things get crazy. I think the Pelicans, for whatever reason, the Pelicans, who have Anthony Davis, are serious about picking up a traditional center. Like, guys,
you have a superstar who should be playing the five and would be such a matchup problem as the all-time five. Just maybe get a good power forward instead? Nope. Nope, they're going after all centers. Although I will say Cousins and Davis would be killer. It would be unstoppable.
But the Pelicans have been like kind of low-key one of the worst front offices in the league over the pretty much since Davis has been drafted. People get distracted by the Kings and the Knicks because they're more high profile and how terrible they are. But the Pelicans really have done nothing right since drafting Davis. And I feel like they've signed Omer Asik like 17 times to deals that are just absolutely absurd. And they've never put who's the best player Anthony Davis has played with so far? Tyreek Evans?
Nah, Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday for sure. But Drew Holiday has also been off the court a lot due to injuries and stuff. So Pelicans, shout out to their inability to put a good team around Anthony Davis. Shout out to their ability to waste some great years of awesome, awesome superstar young talent. And shout out to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. Everybody, listen to us 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. To subscribe to us, search for Locked On Celtics podcast wherever you get your podcast, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else, iTunes. Subscribe to us, give us a 5-star rating. We will be here every Monday through Friday. We are the greatest Celtics podcast ever created, the best podcast ever to do it. And yeah, that's it for this episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.